You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
And just like that, it's Diamond District Bonus Hour on this final Monday of March. Week one of the tournament in the books for the men. Week one of the tournament wraps up today and tonight for the women. If you have found yourself watching some women's basketball this year, well, got the Lady Vols on at 4, Connecticut at 6, Iowa at 8, and USC at 10. I mean, that's about as star-studded as women's college basketball can be, all on the four-letter network if you're interested. Obviously, Caitlin Clark and Iowa at 8 if you're looking for some hoops tonight. Taking on a West Virginia team that I believe, Mark, leading into the tournament, the coach was in the locker room and somebody filmed it, and he said something to the effect of, you know, we're going to send Caitlin Clark home. So that's out
there. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Poked the bear.
Yep. I mean, what else is the coach going to say? Well, you know, we'll win a game and then we'll get trashed. I mean, I think that's who they play, right? So we got that going on tonight, if you're interested. If you need some hoops, if you've been, you know, six straight days of hoops, if you watch the first four in Dayton and you're like, I need some hoop. Well, you got some hoop. You know, got some stars too. Paige Beckers with UConn, Juju Watkins with USC, who is amazing, actually, if you haven't seen her. Freshman. Whew. But so there you go. That's if you need your fix.
Shohei Ohtani is going to speak to the media today. And we'll see how many questions he answers. To me, that the whole, whatever he says prior to the Q&A part of it, I don't want to say is largely irrelevant, but I got a pretty good idea what the written statement's going to say. I knew nothing. He stole from me. I trusted him, and he betrayed that trust.
Be great if he had a Colonel Klink impression in him, don't you think, right at the beginning? I knew nothing. Nothing.
And what we wonder is how many times he will answer a question with the, well, it's currently under investigation. As much as I'd like to talk about that, I'm not allowed to at this point.
Right.
And which begs the question, what the hell are you having a presser for?
I got escorted out of one of those once because somebody was falling back on that answer, and I stood up and I said, well, what the? And they said, yeah, you need to leave. Okay. And as long as my camera stayed, I didn't care. I have a photographer, videographer, so I just looked at them and I said, keep rolling.
You are a peach.
Hey, come on now. You're having a press conference to discuss what? This whole sordid gambling thing. I mean, listen, don't hold the press conference to just read a prepared statement. You can just send that out. We don't need to have a presser. You said, I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Okay, it's tomorrow. We're the guys. We're here.
And by saying you're going to talk to us, that means you're going to answer our questions. You're not going to talk at us. And right. I think Shohei is going to talk at the reporters, answer damn near every question with, I'd love to talk about that, but I'm not allowed to, and this is going to be a colossal waste of time.
It will not be good for baseball. Honestly, if I'm Manfred, I'm like, no, just whatever you do, just release a statement then. I will say, because I'm a SiriusXM subscriber, so I like to drive around, and I know I can listen to it on an app, but I use it as an excuse to get out of the house, to be quite frank. And my wife hasn't caught on that I can listen on the app. So I go, I'm going to go in the car. I'm going to listen to the radio for an hour. I'll be back. She's like, okay. Because, I mean, like, she wants me in the house that whole time, too. I mean, come on. So, and I'm listening, you know, my favorite shows on channel. So I turned on MLB Network Radio, and I'm like, all right, let's see if they even address this Ohtani thing. And I give them credit. Lead of the show, they addressed it. I'm like, okay. Yeah, there's no way he's guilty of anything, by the way. There's no way. Not even a possibility.
Not even a possibility?
Not even a possibility. He's a complete victim in this.
Victim.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay. Didn't even mention there's two checks with his signature on it. Okay. Didn't even bring it up. Yep. If you're Rob Manfred, you had a great season last year. A great season. Pitch clock worked. All right. You had a tremendous playoffs. I know you ended up with Texas and Arizona in the World Series. That was not ideal. All right, that was kind of like the NCAA tournament last year with Miami and FAU and San Diego State. You know, that's not ideal if you're running the tournament, but yeah, those things happen. But you had a great season. Attendance was up double digits. Ratings were up. The average age of the fan in the ballpark went down 6 years. Average age of the television viewer went down 6 years. I mean, you made some real progress last year. And your offseason has sucked.
And not just because of this. This is the icing on top of the lousy offseason that was.
Right. This is a whole second layer to the cake. Kind of like, oh, we're going to have to double-decker this sucker.
Quick sidebar.
Okay.
So my daughter's in love with these cake pop things that Starbucks sells for like $75 per. So I give credit. My wife's the baker in the house. My wife looked up recipes, made the cake pops. They're delicious. Here's the problem. They are literally all sitting in the laundry room right now because they're all sitting in styrofoam because you got to poke this, you know, the stick through there. I've got like 20 cake pops, and they're for my daughter. I had to go through the late night games last night, and I've got to go through all today and try not to attack the cake pops.
Yeah, we don't want another tag-along situation.
You're damn right, because if I have one, I'm having 20.
How big are they?
They're like the size of a sucker. I mean, they're, you know, like a... They're just a...
It's like two bites.
Yes. For you, okay. It'd be one.
Well, can't you... But if you have 20 of them, this is kind of like, you know, stealing $4.5 million from Ohtani. Apparently, he didn't notice because he had so much. How many of these, what do you call them again?
Cake pops.
How many cake pops would have to, that you can eat before you think someone would notice? Because I'm thinking, four?
Yeah. Here's because again, they're like a sucker, okay? They're like right. And the stick is in the styrofoam because they're sitting up. So if I take them, there's a clear mark where I've taken it from. You can see the hole.
Oh, damn.
Right.
You can't reconfigure it?
Not without more styrofoam.
So this isn't like a bag of potato chips where you just still fold it and you use the air in the bag to pretend, you know, you still think there's...
Right. I can't run to Publix and buy another one.
So it's a problem. Here's a question. Do you think they'll notice? Like, do you think you have time the next day to go out and just, you know, because then you could just get 20 more and then keep those 20 for yourself for the rest of the tournament.
I'll work on it.
Okay. I know. It's big issues of the day. I get it.
But back to Shohei and his interpreter and the pressing questions. I'm hoping we don't get a lot of it's under investigation. I would love to know. I want to know what he is going to say. How do you lose $4.5 million? How do you not notice that? I mean, you've got that much money that someone took $4.5 million and you didn't notice your account was down a little bit.
Shohei, I have just one question. How come there are $2.5 million checks with your signature on them? Did you write those checks? I'll hang up and listen. Which, of course, then leads to so many follow-ups. If his side is insisting that the money was stolen from him, he's going to have to claim he didn't write the checks. Well, okay. So how is it that somebody can get a hold of your checks to cover $1 million worth of their gambling debts.
And here's the other thing. Maybe he writes a lot of checks.
Oh, he's a mole?
I doubt it.
Okay.
But wouldn't you think if you don't write a lot of checks, and the average check that you write is for $1,000, $2,000, your damn mortgage, maybe his mortgage is $10,000.
Right.
Two checks for a half schmill come through? I would actually think the bank would call him. I'm not joking here. That's also unusual activity.
Also, I think the bets go back to the fall. I think the checks go back to like October, which is, you know, the interpreter's first story was I went to him in the fall. I said, I have a problem. Can you help me? And he took care of the problem. Now, 5-6 months later, and by the way, the interpreter was employed a week ago today. In fact, the interpreter was employed a week ago tomorrow. He didn't get fired until the story was about to go public.
When everything changed.
So it's another question. So are you saying, Shohei, that you didn't know anything about this until ESPN reached out to you for comment last Tuesday? Shohei, one more question, if I may. So your pre-game routine and your off-season conditioning is meticulous, yet you're reckless with your money? I'll hang up and listen.
What's the largest check you've ever written? There's so many questions I could ask. I could be there for 4 days asking questions.
I know. You can't say you're going to have a presser, you know, because to me, I'm like, you know, this goes back 40 years, but there was a controversy with Geraldine Ferraro and she was running for VP. Her husband was involved in some stuff and she did a 2-hour presser. She sat there, she said, I'll answer all your questions. That's how you do a presser. Miller and Moulton.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when. That's all coming up in a little more than 15 minutes' time. And we'll have a pick or two coming up as well. So is this the offseason that Semesco leaves? Kentucky, Miami, Clemson are available. Miami knows who he is. First off, the guy who's AD was at Clemson, okay? And now he's been at Miami a few years. They know who he is. Kentucky certainly knows who he is. He's beating them like a drum here the last few years because the Kentucky coach that got fired was foolish enough to schedule a home and home with him.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Mm-hmm.
Of the three jobs that you mentioned, the likelihood of them hiring a male over a female for those jobs. And well, I don't want to get in trouble here, but I mean,
they're
mostly women's coaches in women's sports these days.
Yes, it is. It's a very legitimate, okay, thing to bring up. There's a lot of pressure within athletic departments to have the most high profile women's sports job be led by a woman. And Kentucky, though, has shown that they don't care, because even though they had a woman who was head coach and she just got let go, the person before her was a guy, and he's the most successful coach in Kentucky women's basketball history. He actually wants the job again. He retired 3 years ago for health reasons. He says he's better now. He wants the job again. And for those that cover Kentucky women's basketball, as soon as the woman was let go, they immediately said, trust me, one of the people they're going to call is Carl Semesco. They've seen him up close these last few years. He beats him. So
that's the first question you got to ask. Out of those, so I mean, I would think he only has a 33% chance at one of those jobs of the three, you know, at best.
Well, Miami should hire him. I don't think they will. The retiring coach, I don't think is a fan of him. She never played FGCU in the regular season. Her entire 19-year career, she never scheduled FGCU in the regular season. FGCU was more than willing, okay, to drive across the alley and play Miami at Miami. No return game necessary. She wanted no part of Semesco and FGCU. She played FGCU, I think, three times, all in the postseason. Won all three. They were all very close games where she was expected to win by big numbers. That, I mean, they should hire him. But, and I haven't talked to Carl about this in years, about, you know, hey, what would it take for you to leave? I mean, he's gone to 7 straight NCAA tournaments. You know, him and Gino are the only two coaches who have won 25 or more games 14 consecutive years. Now, there's another level that he can get to at FGCU. There's no question. You know, he's never made the Sweet 16. Okay, so there's still another level. You know, if you ask what more can he do at FGCU, well, there's another level. There is.
Here's the problem I see with, and this is a question really that we may one day be able to get answered with the new athletic director, is that there's not a lot of money in the program. And now with the transfer portal and NIL even being a part of women's college basketball, he may not be able to get the player he was once getting. Is the landscape going to change there? Is this new athletic director going to bring in enough money? He was the head of the NIL at North Carolina State. Will there be money there for Carl in that program? Because if so, then he might be able to get to that Sweet 16 that you're talking about. I find it difficult in the current landscape with the transfer portal for him to be as good as he's been. It's harder for him now than it was 3 or 4 years ago. Would you agree with that?
One part's easier that there's far more transfers, and Semesco has lived in the transfer portal for the last 10 years. I mean, you could take a look back. He recruits far more transfers than he has high school kids. Always has. All right. But yes, Mark, now that there's actually money that has to go along with the transfers. You know, before, FGCU was a great destination. You know, we all know the beach on campus, the weather, 2,000 people come to all their games, when that's not the case in most women's basketball programs. They're successful. He plays a great system to play in. A lot of freedom, as long as you know, fit within it.
As long as you don't shoot mid-range jumpers. There's all kinds of freedom, as long as you never shoot a mid-range jumper.
Right. It's threes or layups.
That's it.
Threes or layups. Right. And if they make their layups, they win.
And they would have beat Oklahoma had they made their layups and their free throws. They had the opportunity to win that game.
But he told me a long time ago, I think he said it, we interviewed him, in which he said, I'd want to go somewhere where I think I have a real chance to go to a Final Four. He basically was saying, listen, I think we'd go to a Sweet 16 here. So, you know, there's no sense me taking a job, you know, where, yeah, okay, yeah, I can go to Sweet 16. Well, I think I can do that here. You know, he said to us, he goes, if I'm going to leave, I got to go somewhere where I think I can get to the Final Four. Or I got a shot to win a natty.
Well, the Miami women were an Elite Eight team a year ago, right?
They were. Now, that's far and away the most success that they'd ever had.
I understand.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. You know, he turned down the USC job because they lowballed them. All right, look at where they are. They're a number one seed in the tournament. You know, he's been a finalist at Arizona. They played for the Natty a few years ago. He was a finalist twice for Indiana. You know, I mean, even with the politics involved, okay, I don't think he's leaving. I don't. I think he'll be the FGCU women's basketball coach. I will say this. If I'm the incoming AD, and I have no idea if they've spoken or what have you, I can't afford to lose him now. I got too many other issues on my plate. If I'm the incoming AD, if there's one coach I would call, before I get the job, you know, officially, I would call him and go, please don't leave. I need you so desperately next year.
Yeah, they're the rock of FGCU athletics.
Right.
I mean, there are other programs that have done well. The soccer does a really nice job. Uh-huh. The baseball's done a really nice job. They're not as good this year. But the rock of the athletic department's the women's basketball program.
Yep. Women's soccer and volleyball, terrific. Have done things in the NCAA tournament as well. But absolutely. I mean, 10 NCAA tournament appearances in the last 13 seasons, would have been 11 out of 13 if the tourney didn't get canceled in 2020. They've been in the A-Sun and eligible to play in the A-Sun tournament for 13 years. They've made the finals 13 times.
And for personal reasons, Miller and Moulton would love to see him stay. And I think for personal reasons, we'd love to see him get one of those jobs and have a shot at a Final Four. We like right. Carl. Carl's a really good guy.
Right.
And a really we'd good want, coach.
Right. We'd want one or the other. Okay. We'd want either to, you know, get the job in which we're like, ooh.
He can win there.
There. Right. Or, you know, tell you what, though, doesn't it sadden you? If you take a look at the college landscape right now, do you know how good FGCU should be? So let me get this straight. If you have money, you can be successful. Where is FGCU located again?
Southwest Florida, David.
Is there any money nearby, Mark?
We're going to find out if this AD can get any of it.
This is it. Final segment of the show. 22 minutes till the top of the hour, 16 until we're done. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. David Sampson, Pat Kerwin. Boy, it's pretty timely to have David Sampson on tomorrow after the Ohtani presser this afternoon. And Pat Kerwin live from the NFL owners meetings.
Yeah, will we have rule changes? Will the kickoff be forever changed in the game of football?
They've already amended, I guess, the kickoff proposal. Touchbacks now. Last week, the talk was the touchbacks would go to the 35. Now, 30.
Okay. I mean, that's sensible. We talked about it. The 35, you're two first downs away from a field goal.
Apparently, the NFL's also looked concerned. Apparently, the last couple of years, scoring has gone down.
Oh, and, no.
Yeah, well.
They're going to make tackling illegal.
And so they're wanting more points. So that's also, I think, part of the rule changes.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
All right. I'm disputing the first thing that I'm going to put on this list, because according to the place where I get all my information, the first Easter was celebrated in 31 AD. That seems about 31 years later than the first Easter was celebrated, David. I don't know about you.
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, if we're going to present this before a jury, I'd much rather present your case than their case.
The best was when we were talking about holidays being on specific days or moving them around. And David goes, yeah, Easter, they move that sucker around.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Today in 1807, the British abolished the slave trade. 1919, the League of Nations begins at the Paris Peace Conference. Today in 1934, Horton Smith wins the first Augusta Invitational.
It would become the Masters, not yet to be televised by CBS. By the way, Vern Lundquist going to be on the show Thursday.
Awesome.
If anybody's interested in Uncle Vern.
His last Masters.
Yep, his 40th and final.
1939, Billboard introduces the Hillbilly Chart. You'll know it as the Country Chart from that point forward.
Did they really call it Hillbilly?
Yes.
We have been so inappropriate in our history, haven't we?
We really have. Today in 1954, RCA manufactures the first color television set. It was 12 and a half inches, and it cost $1,000 in 1954. The Boston Patriots become the New England Patriots today in 1971.
Oh, so that's post-merger then. Okay. So the whole time they were in the AFL, they were the Boston Patriots. Gotcha.
UCLA won their sixth consecutive national title today in 1972. Gretzky gets to 200 points today in 82. Right. And it was tonight in 1983 during the Motown 25 that this guy named Michael Jackson did this moonwalk thing.
People lost their minds.
They did.
Absolutely, we lost our minds.
Howard Cosell and Aretha Franklin both would have celebrated birthdays today. Elton John, 77. Lee Mazzilli, 69. I only threw that in there half for David and half because I think I had 74 Lee Mazzilli baseball cards at one point in my life. He was in every pack, I think, David.
He and John Stearns were the designated Mets of the late 70s. One of you goes to the All-Star game. We suck, but one of you has to go.
Sarah Jessica Parker is 59. Tom Glavin is 58. Cheryl Swoops is 53. And Danica Patrick is 42. What did I miss, David?
Nothing. I got nothing for you. I have absolutely nothing.
All righty.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We've got Casey and Lauren in Jacksonville. They are going to attempt to drive down the coast of Florida for a Guinness Book of World Records for the longest distance driven in toy cars. The two of them are going to go from Jacksonville to Key West. It's going to take them 2 months in toy cars to drive their little toys down, and they're going to try to raise some money for animals. The fundraiser aims to reach $10,000, which they're given to basically save every animal they can.
If we can find one person to write them a check for $5,000, would they stay home?
I don't know, David. They've been friends since childhood. They used to ride around in toy cars together. Now they're making a road trip in toy cars.
What are we talking, like, you know, you get your...
Battery-operated cars. Like, I had a Jeep for my kid.
Are we talking, like, you know, plastic with the pedals and...
No pedals. It's motorized.
Motorized.
You put a battery in there.
Little battery-operated cars. They go about 5 miles an hour.
It's a big deal when you're a kid. I remember when I got my first little red pickup truck.
When my son had his, I was very single. I was divorced from my first wife, and so the Jeep was out back. My house happened to have a lot of after parties at it. We always had as many women as we could ride in the Jeep. I would take pictures. And I was going to, when he was 18, show him a picture of all the women that had driven his Jeep.
That is amazing.
Son, we use your toy car to meet women.
Yep. For the bad, we'll stay in Florida. St. Lucie County, where a tree trimmer got stranded in his bucket 30 feet above the air. The lift malfunctioned, and he became stuck in place. They needed firefighters and a second bucket truck to reach the trimmer and bring him safely to the ground. Now, for him, it was probably no big deal because he's in that bucket all the time. I read that story and freaked out. That's like being caught on the roller coaster and have to climb down. It's the end-all, be-all for me. And finally, for the ugly, we go to Lehigh Acres, where a scary situation when a half-naked man attempted to get into a home he was not a resident in Thursday. Surveillance video shows the man walk up to the home without pants on before grabbing the door handle. Family member said her little brother was getting a snack in the kitchen when he made eye contact with the man. The man disappeared behind a bush. He eventually walked away. He is still on the loose. So if you were the pantsless man trying to get into the wrong house, Lee County's looking for you, sir. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on March the 25th, 2024.
Of course, the question then becomes, how are they going to identify him? Hello! Is this on?
Sure is.
11 games in the NBA tonight, and hardly any of them any good. Both the Heat and the Magic are not in action, but literally, Mark, 9 of the games do not involve two teams with a winning record. Only Philly at Sacramento and Indiana at the Clippers late are teams in which, or games in which both teams have a winning record. Trent, your Pistons are getting 16.5 at MSG against the Knicks.
Lovely. Hope they cover. Good luck, boys.
Wow, look, he's done.
He's done with the Pistons.
Yeah, I know. Wow. You got, no one cares about this, but they've had a ton of injuries. They've shut guys down. They're not even watchable at this point anymore. It's a G League team.
Saying they were watchable earlier in the season.
Right.
Players I enjoy watching, and they're done.
They're 12-59. I want to know when they were watchable. The preseason?
When they started 2-1.
There you go.
There are two games in the NHL. And believe it or not, one of them's a biggie, and it's on NHL Network. It's Las Vegas at St. Louis. These are the two teams battling for the final playoff spot out west. Vegas has got a 4-point lead, and they have a game in hand. This is a must for St. Louis to win in regulation tonight, or realistically, Vegas is going to make the playoffs yet again, and the Blues will not. Just like there's going to be a monster game tomorrow night, Detroit at Washington in the East for the final playoff spot. Although those two teams separated by just a point. And then we've got the women's madness.
Starts
Star
at two.
If you're interested.
Starts at two. I mean, you mentioned the 4 o'clock game because the Lady Vols are playing, but Notre Dame plays at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah. I mean, 2 o'clock on the four letter network. You got Notre Dame, then at 4 o'clock, you got Tennessee. 6 o'clock, you got Paige Beckers in UConn. 8 o'clock, you got Caitlin Clark in Iowa. 10 o'clock, you got Juju Watkins in USC. A lot of star power, either with programs or with players, or both.
So the West Virginia coach is on record saying they were taking down Caitlin Clark, right?
There's video. He was in the locker room. The draw came out and what have you. And he said something, you know, to fire his team up and what have you. And somebody videotaped it and sent it out. And, yeah, they're going to send Caitlin Clark home.
15.5 is the number.
Yeah, I'd lay it.
Done.
They didn't play particularly well in their first round game, and they didn't cover by a lot. So
we're 1-0 in the women's tournament this year against the number.
Something to remember.
Undefeated.
So we have bet Iowa. It happened right there, literally on the show.
Listen, something to keep in mind. FGCU in the first round of the NCAA tournament's 4-6. By seeding, they're supposed to be 1-9. They've only been the better seed one time in 10 previous NCAA tournament first round games. So they're 4-6. But against the spread, Mark, 8-2. And one of those two was a game they lost in overtime. So just saying. And the men, by the way, if they ever get back to the tournament, are 6-0 in the NCAA tournament against the number.
There's a question for you. Will they be back in the tournament while Miller and Moulton are still doing a show?
Wow. Have to take both things into consideration. Yeah,
right. Too. I mean, there is a lot to take into consideration there, David.
I mean,
because right now the basketball program, you know, the guys are transferring out. They're not, they'll get transfers in.
And they'll obviously never get an at-large, so they have to win the conference tournament, even if they win the A-Sun for the season.
And we still have to be on the air a year from now. I mean,
right.
They can make the tournament next year.
A lot up in the air with that bet. Place your wagers accordingly.
Oh, man. You know, we didn't hear much from Trent today. His scouting report of himself was very accurate. He was very melancholy today.
I will say, from a wardrobe standpoint, he switched gears completely. He was all Sparty last week every day, getting ready for Michigan State in the tournament. And they did exactly what, and Trent and I, both proud Michigan State grads, did exactly what we thought they were going to do. Win the first game, lose the second. That's what happened. Thought they might be a little more competitive against North Carolina, but that wasn't the case. North Carolina played a really good game. But today, he is in head-to-toe Lions. He has already made the transition to the draft.
The draft that is in Detroit, by the way.
That got him smiling, just thinking about the draft and where it is. Big smile on his face.
I love my GM. I love Brad Holmes. I can't wait to see what he does again. Win another draft, baby.
Win another draft.
Well,
do you hang a banner for that?
It's better than an in-season banner for an in-season tournament.
Definitely. I will grant you that. All right. So how would that banner read? I mean, the NFL draft logo. All right. Then how do we title it?
Winners. 2012. 2022.
So we just do the NFL draft logo underneath a line. Winners.
2023.
And 2022. So, okay. All right.
Keep winning drafts. Eventually, you're going to win games, I think, David. That's what Trent's at least hoping for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they divisions.
Did last year. They did last year. David Sampson, Pat Kerwin on the show tomorrow. Have a great rest of your Monday. Thanks for listening, Miller and Moulton.